The so-called sixth chapter of Pirkei Avos. Tonight we come up to a Mishnah that could be taken in, or Braisa rather, that could be taken in two very different directions. So the Braisa says, Kach hi darka shel Torah. This is the path of Torah. Pas bamelach tochal, that you should only have bread with a little bit of salt. Umayim b'mesura tishta, forget about your seltzer. Forget about your Diet Coke. Forget about your Snapple. Forget about whatever other, your cappuccino. You drink water. So we're talking about bread. We're talking about water. Ve'al ha'aretz tishan. And forget about your nice, a mattress with the extra back support or whatever it is, because you're sleeping on the ground anyway. Ve'chayitzar tichya. And you should live a life of tsar, of suffering, of a Torah ta'amel. And in this way, you should study the Torah, you could read this Bryce as extolling a kind of an almost monastic life, like, suffering for its own sake. The earlier Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the Fum Tzara Agra, in accordance with the suffering, is the reward, and that a person should literally live a life of Tzar, like as a prescriptive thing. And then you just, toil away in Torah and deny yourself any worldly pleasures. So I don't think that's really the correct way of understanding this brisa, but I do think it provides an important foil. Yahadus is not an ascetic religion. It's a balanced religion. There's a famous passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi in Masech Kiddushin, which states basically that a person is held to judgment for all of the pleasure that they might have derived from this world, but didn't derive. That we are not overall ascetics, so we have to have a sense of moderation, we have to have a sense of balance. That's what the Ramban writes all about in his famous essay on Kedoshim Tiyu, and the Rambam happens to agree in a large measure as well, that a person obviously not only needs to find the golden mean, which he writes about extensively, but there is a notion of precious, of not engaging excessively in the pleasures of the world, based on the pasuk v'iskadishtem v'isem kedoshim. So rather than what would be an alternative interpretation of this brisa, which seems to be saying bread, water, lying on the ground, and living a life of tzar. So I think the other interpretation, which, and I'm not just saying this, because we in our modern age are used to a certain degree of comfort, but I really think this is reflective of the Torah's perspective, what you have to be willing to do, as I heard from my Rebbe Rav Michael Rosenzweig. This is what you have to be willing to do for Torah. This is not the optimal standard, but if this is what it would take, Torah, as we spoke about yesterday, is the ultimate commodity in life. That's why, even if a person taught you one word of Torah, one pasuk of Torah, you should be grateful your whole life. So for the ultimate commodity in the world, this is what you would have to be willing to do. But not like that this is, in some sense, what we hope for. Of course, we daven, Chaim shel osher v'chavod. We say that every Shabbos Mevarchim. We would like to have, some measure of security. And again, some measure of the dignity that comes with that. Nothing ostentatious or, showy, God forbid. But just, within the general realm of tznius, something that is presentable. The Gemara itself says that dira na'a, having a home that's nice, again, doesn't have to be ostentatious, is part of what it takes. Sort of like it helps a person achieve a level of becoming a Talmud Chacham, is having a certain degree of physical comfort. And I'd like to conclude by making a kind of an analogy. So we know the famous pasuk in Sefer Bereishis in Parshas Vayetze tells us that when Yaakov worked very, very hard for the right to marry Rachel, unfortunately it didn't work out in the end in terms of marrying Rachel, that we know was a plan derailed. But the pasuk says, when Yaakov thought that he was working for Rachel anyway, pasuk says, Vayu be'enav ki amim achadim be'havaso osa. Right? He loved her so much that it was like just a few days. So the pasuk on its face doesn't seem to make much sense. If you really love somebody that much, so then like each day is an eternity. Because how do you, wait 7 years for that? If you're really, 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 so in love with something, then even 7 hours would feel like a really long time, let alone 7 years. So I don't think that's what the pasuk means. I think what the pasuk means, and it says it was like a few days, was the following, that I think it probably felt like 7 years or maybe 70 years. But Yaakov thought to himself, boy, for the right to marry Rachel, to work 7 years, that's not a bad deal. Vayu benav ki yamim achadim ba'avaso osa means that, you know, the trade-off, so to speak, of having to work very hard for 7 years for the right to marry Rachel. So he looked at that as, you know, he probably walked away, you know, laughing to himself, said, if Lavan asked for 70, I would have done 70. I got off easy, right? So when you really love something so much, you're willing to go to great lengths for it. And that's, I think, the proper way to interpret this brisa. This brisa is saying is that Torah is the ultimate commodity. We should love Torah that much that we'd be willing to do this, have bread and water, you know, to deprive ourselves of the basic pleasures of a mattress, you know, ve'al aretz tishan v'chayitzar techia v'tara ta'amel, but hopefully we don't need to choose between that kind of dedication to Torah and having a life of some degree of comfort. We should note that, of course, and again, just in conclusion, that there is a broader message here about the kinds of things that take to make people happy. And we all know, it's one of my best friends who happened to have been in college with me and smicha with me and is a practicing psychiatrist out in California likes to say, you know, if a person, the higher standards a person has, the harder it is to make a person happy. Unfortunately, the more often that they won't be happy. So developing a culture for oneself, a personal culture and a familial culture of simplicity, ultimately, you're only doing yourself a favor, right? The more a person needs to be happy, by definition, the less often they'll be happy. You know, people who have very simple lives in the sense of really not needing that much, that's also part of this brisa, they just end up being much happier much more of the time. People with more needs, more entitlements, unfortunately, you know, they find themselves so disappointed. The world is constantly failing them. The world is constantly disappointing them because their standards of, you know, what takes to make them happy are, you know, so high that, you know, the world can only but disappoint them again and again and again. So the culture of simplicity is certainly also part of the message of this brisa.